This is episode number 180 of the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded Monday, December 30th, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Impresses me every time you do it.
That I'm willing to play the kazoo on the show? Or that I'm willing to play the kazoo like that?
That you play it so well.
Yes, well, I don't have very many competitions as a professional podcast kazoo player. Anyway, so we're here for the last Monday of the 2013 season. You realize we've done this show for 181 episodes now?
Wow, that's like almost 4 years. Well, 3.5.
We'll get there. I'm feeling like we should probably plan one of those, you know, anniversary party type shows when we reach the next milestone. You busy in July?
Not really.
Okay, because...
Maybe.
Well, no,
that's... It's my daughter's birthday.
Well, no, that happens to be when our anniversary is. We started the show in July, I believe. I'm reasonably certain.
Ah.
I'm reasonably certain we started the show in July. Well, let's see. We can do that. I have this whole setup here with all these extra monitors, so I can answer that question right now. The first episode, which was episode 0 of the Android Buffet Podcast, was posted on July 7th, 2010. So July 7th would be 4 years doing the show.
Wow.
July 7th, by coincidence, happens to be a Monday. Look at that. We'll be recording a show.
Woo-hoo.
I thought that was an interesting coincidence when I just checked the calendar. It isn't an interesting coincidence that that just happens to be the day we're recording. Exactly 4 years to the day that we first recorded.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Hmm.
What?
So you celebrated some sort of holiday since I last saw you? How was that?
Yes, we did Christmas.
Oh, you didn't sit around and celebrate the eggnog riot of 1826?
I did not.
Why not?
Sorry.
Why did you not? Are you telling me that you didn't find it an event worth celebrating?
Not so much.
No. I'll have you know that I celebrate it every year because people always wish me Merry Christmas and I want to be celebrating something too. So I found all of the important events that I can celebrate on the 24th and the 25th, including the Eggnog Riot, also sometimes known as the Grog Mutiny, which is a riot that took place at West Point on the 24th and 25th of December 1826, caused by a drunken Christmas party in the North Barracks. No? Okay. Libyan Independence Day?
What are you talking about, man?
Things that happened on December 24th happen to include, I have the list here, let's see. It is, let's see, Independence Day in Libya. No?
I'm so lost.
All the things that you could celebrate on December 24th include Libyan Independence Day. I'm confused, too. Why is that?
No, we did Christmas.
Okay. Not Taiwanese Constitution Day?
No.
Okay.
I mean, awesome, but no.
Okay. I'm trying to be multicultural here. Anyway, how was Christmas? Did you get any interesting things? I understand there's a tradition of people giving gifts. Hmm.
I did.
What did you get?
I got a Dallas Cowboy hat. I got an amazing book on C++ API design.
Obviously, your loved ones know you well. Well, let's see. I got time and a half. That's always a gift.
Yep.
Because I will use that to buy things for myself. Or pay off my bills. Anyway, let's see. So tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. That's also usually a big thing. That marks the decision to adopt the current calendar and to advance into the year 2014.
Woo!
Are you excited about that?
Yes.
So how do you feel about 2013? Since we're an Android podcast, how do you feel about Android in the year 2013?
I think the hardware got a lot better.
Well, what about the software?
Fragmentation seemed to have dropped somewhat, or at least the older, the older, less capable Android versions have fallen out of favor.
Always good. But we still have some stragglers. Well, let's say I just got 4.3 on my devices, and you know, through the year I got 1.2. So essentially, this was the year that I moved beyond 4.0. And there were a lot of, even though, you know, the difference between, you know, Jelly Bean version 1, Jelly Bean version 2, and Jelly Bean version 3 wasn't necessarily that. Excuse me.
Bless you.
It's that time of year. Sorry. So even though the difference wasn't necessarily major, but each version did bring something that matured the brand. And then we got KitKat, the first Android version based on a commercial product. And you have KitKat on your Nexus 5. I have it on my Nexus 7.
I do.
And I did try it on the Nexus 4. That reminds me, I have to call FedEx again. I still feel horrible about that. I know Pat's listening, and I know he's being very good about it, but I feel horrible that it got lost in the mail. Anyway, but getting back to the subject of KitKat, KitKat didn't necessarily bring that much. You know, everything 4.1 through 4.4 brought a lot of really useful things. For example, 4.3 brought the notification listener service. Have you used that yet, Jerry?
I have not.
Well, I've used it in two ways. For example, I have a program called Dynamic Notifications, which is based on a feature that the Moto X debuted that somebody recreated that essentially periodically flashes notifications when your phone is not in use.
What do you mean?
When you have your phone sitting on a desk, it'll essentially turn the screen on for a moment, you know, flash something indicating there's a notification on the screen that you could see quickly, and then turn itself off, sort of like a heartbeat. Well,
why would it do that if you're not using it? You might probably aren't looking at it, right?
Well, the idea is that, what's the best way to describe it? It doesn't light up the entire screen. It lights up just a small section of it.
Does that save energy?
With certain types of screens, yes. So it essentially discreetly lights up with the notification without needing to unlock the device. It's you have had phones with a notification LED. Most phones have them nowadays. They'll tell you that there is a notification.
That's one of my frustrations with the Nexus 5. I mean, it's got this awesome, like, RGB LED, but it can make all sorts of colors. But it absolutely will not light up if the screen is on, and it has to be a blink. It can't just be on. Like, when you plug it in so that it's charging, I use a program called Light Manager, so that it can do different blinks or different colors for different things. Yeah. And LG has it set up so that you cannot just turn on the LED notification. It has to be some sort of blink. So when it's charging, it's on an 8 second on, 2 second off cycle. It's bloody annoying.
Well, you could try the program that I was mentioning, Dynamic Notifications. See if you like that. Well, no, I tried it out. I get a kick out of it, but I found a better way, so I may be disabling it.
What's the better way?
Well, the Pebble.
Ah.
Didn't I tell you I finally got a band? I was telling you about it on Monday night. So Tuesday morning, I had an exciting day. Apparently.
So how did you work out the band problem?
Well, I decided to give it a shot with the 9.25-inch band.
Yes.
So on Tuesday morning, we had the Christmas Eve schedule change at my place of business. So they told everybody that they could leave early. Me, they told me I could come in late.
Right.
Well, somebody has to be there to land. So, you know, they wanted to reciprocate what they were doing for the people who left early. So they told me I should just come in an hour late. So I decided to go and see a movie. So I went to the local movie theater. Nearby, there was a store that sold watch-related paraphernalia. I brought them the band. I brought them the Pebble. And I said, can you put this on that? They said yes, and they didn't want to take anything. Well, no, the guy didn't want to take anything for it. He said it took me 5 seconds. I said, at least let me give you a tip. So I tipped the guy and put the Pebble on and went to lunch. So I've been using the Pebble on and off for about a week now.
And how's it working out for you?
Well, it's interesting. It actually made me laugh several times.
How's that?
Well, what I did was the Pebble program has not been updated for 4.3, which is why I was talking about the active listener service.
Mm-hmm.
So it still uses the workaround that a lot of older apps use, which is the accessibility functions. So I disabled the notifications on their native app and found an app that did use the new listening service. So all of my notifications, there's a setting there to disable which apps it will send and which apps it won't. in my, right. both in their stock program and the third party I'm using.
I had to enable that for Light Manager.
Yeah, so I've been slowly removing programs, but every so often something comes through. So for 2 days until I turned it off, every time I entered my home, I would get the notification that my phone was connected to Wi-Fi, vibrating on my arm.
That's useful.
Yeah, then I showed the Pebble to somebody and told them I had a vibrator on my arm, and they were laughing hysterically for some reason.
I'm sure.
What would you call it? The thing that makes a phone vibrate, wouldn't that be a vibrator? What's the term for that, for the little motor that makes the phone shake suddenly?
I'd call it a vibrator.
Okay, so the reason that I wanted the Pebble was because often I keep my phone in my pocket, especially when I'm working or doing something else, and I want to be alerted that there's something going on that I might want to know about and be able to subtly know what it is. So the Pebble vibrates on my arm. Also, I can't hear my phone ringing in a crowded place, so this would vibrate when an incoming call came in. So it makes a very nice companion device.
Mm.
Yes. And I was talking to several other people who have been playing with Pebble lately. And next year, Pebble is supposed to have their own app store.
Really?
Yes. Well, no, for the apps for the watch. So you can install applications on the watch itself.
Huh.
Now, you know, you can, a lot of apps in the Play Store actually will sideload apps onto the watch. But I think that Pebble wants to do what, you know, the Play Store and other stores do, which is if it's in your store, then you can say this is something that we're going to keep an eye on and we'll pull it. So they want to be a trusted source. Whereas I suppose that a app in the Play Store that sideloads an app onto the Pebble could be considered to be a trusted source by proxy, but I could understand why they would want to have their own store. That doesn't mean you still, they're doing the same thing that anybody else does. You can still sideload.
That just sounds crazy.
What? Apps on your watch?
Yeah, just, well, okay, so you download an app from the App Store to your phone.
Yeah.
And in the process of running, the phone loads an app
onto
the Pebble.
Well, the two, remember, these apps are, the app on the phone and the app on the watch are communicating with each other. So it's not, the purpose of the Play Store app is not just to load the app onto the watch, it's to communicate with it. So the one that I loaded was a different notification app, not the stock one. And what that did was that app takes the notifications by establishing a notification listener service and sends it to the app on the watch, which displays them. Now, if Pebble updates the stock app to switch from the accessibility service to the notification service, then I might switch back to the stock app. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was just looking at the reviews here, and it says, and I quote, "Needs Android 4.3 plus update. Stop using accessibility service and use Android notification service instead. That way, talkback bug that Samsung won't fix won't even be an issue." And they even have in their description, "Some Samsung users may find their device starts speaking after enabling the Pebble accessibility service. This is caused by a bug in Samsung's operating system affecting all third-party accessibility services."
Hmm.
Well, but that's what third-party app developers are for, to put in functionality that the stock doesn't have. But I like the idea of the Pebble.
It's certainly interesting.
Well, I wouldn't have paid full price for it, but I'm cheap.
Yeah.
No, I got a really good deal.
I'm sure you did.
I thought $70 off was made it worth it. That's about what I paid. No, I'm saying that's about what I paid for my Casio.
How much was the final total?
And what was it? $89.99 plus tax.
Wow.
And
that's not bad.
No, I think I paid $85 for a Casio the last time I bought a watch. Admittedly, that'll last forever because it has an atomic clock and a rechargeable solar battery. I hate replacing watch batteries.
Well, you know, honestly, who doesn't?
Well, no. If you want to do it yourself, you have to get little screwdrivers, and then you take it into a store, and there's a guy there who's done it so many times he can do it for you before you blink, but he'll charge you, what, $5, $10 for the privilege, which doesn't bother me. It's just, if I can buy a rechargeable battery, I might as well buy a rechargeable battery.
I'd have to say that the guy charging $5 or $10.
Yeah.
I mean, he saves me probably half an hour worth of work, and my time's worth $10 an hour. So I'm happy to do it.
That's why I gave the guy who put the watchman on the watch $10. I'm just saying that if I can buy a watch that doesn't require me to do that, then I'm happier. I'm not saying I have a problem paying for him for his work. I'm saying that if I don't ever have to go and have somebody replace the battery on my watch, I'm probably happier.
Sure.
It's another thing I don't have to do. So some of the reasons I wanted to bring up the Pebble, other than the fact that I think it's a very nice companion for a phone, and I've said before in regards to smartwatches that I don't understand why you would want a full-fledged interface on your wrist. I think what you just want is the simple notifications. And some people may want something else, but that's what I think people should want, because otherwise you might as well just strap your phone there. Also, it's something of a slow news week.
Yeah, it is.
I scoured the news, and all I found was 13-year-old tries Walkman instead of iPod for a week.
How did it go?
Apparently, he had some trouble. He thought that the button to detect different types of cassette tapes was a stereo equalizer. He really liked the fact that it had two headphone jacks, and he couldn't figure out how to use the shuffle feature.
That's funny.
I thought so.
I concur.
Well, it's always interesting. Now, vinyl has a lot of enthusiasts. There are people who, people who are very dedicated to vinyl who will continue to buy it to this day and want new vinyl. Mm-hmm. You don't hear anybody saying, I really like the sound of a magnetic cassette tape. I don't think it's a technology that anybody really has nostalgia for.
Right, because flutter doesn't. So vinyl is supposed to give what? Some body to the sound? Is that right?
What, vinyl?
Yeah.
Well, to some degree.
A naturalness?
Also, with classic music, that's what it was mastered for. You have the experience.
Yeah, tape just gives, flutter.
Also, it degrades. Now, vinyl technically will degrade, but not quite. You could, block up a piece of vinyl for 10 years, and you have a pretty good chance of it playing pretty much the same way it was originally. Do you remember early on this program where I used to, after the show was over, play vinyl?
No.
Oh, you don't remember? I used to spin records?
Nope.
I used to do it after the show, because if I did it on the show, I'd get into trouble with the people at the copyright office, but... You don't remember anything we've done in the last 4 years, have you? We met.
That's what my wife says all the time. And you know what? She's right, too.
We met, remember?
Yeah, but I don't know how.
We went to Charlotte. We saw each other there.
No, I remember. Yeah, I remember.
You don't remember how we started this podcast?
No, I don't remember how we met originally.
I was a guest on your previous podcast, HGP Centric.
Oh, I had another podcast? You're not my first?
No. You had a podcast with some, what was that guy's name?
I forget these things. Let's move on.
Okay. HTC has a lovely infographic explaining how it upgrades its software with, step-by-step decision making.
Yeah, I did not understand that. I mean, the whole, they start off with, here's a picture of where we are on certain upgrades, and that's nice to understand, but then you do the, to see a diagram of the full process, click here. And this, I didn't get it.
I looked at the diagram. I think they are trying to convey exactly why it isn't just as simple as them loading a piece of software onto there. So they have to get the...
Okay, I got that.
They have to get the chipset manufacturers involved. They have to look at the code to make sure that they can modify their drivers to work, because hardware compatibility is very important. And that will make... HTC decide if they want to invest. Then, of course, they have to integrate Sense, which I suppose is an extra step. And they have to check to see whether or not all of their manufacturers will provide drivers, because it's not just one person who manufactures the entire cell phone. There are subcontractors, different chipsets. They have to make sure everything will work. Then they have to see, would this new version run well on their hardware? So, for example, KitKat is designed to run on lower-end hardware, but ICS through Jelly Bean had problems where lower-end hardware couldn't handle it, which is one of the reasons why inexpensive devices got stuck on Gingerbread. So I think they were really trying to convey exactly how many decisions had to be made in order to decide what to do about upgrades. That it isn't just, let's just take that code that Google drops and let's just install it on our device, and it will work perfectly.
Well, they certainly got across the fact that it's complicated, and that if they have to go through if they have to integrate with a carrier, that it adds a few steps.
Well,
I mean, they got that across.
Yeah, every step requires involvement of other people, and all those people have to cooperate. And cooperation is hard because companies don't necessarily always have a motivation to cooperate. I don't think Verizon is particularly motivated to let them update to the latest version.
Nope, because that would reduce hardware upgrades.
Well, right now you do realize that Verizon is the... pretty much the carrier that has not implemented any of these changes that have been happening because of what T-Mobile's been up to. So T-Mobile decides they're going to end device subsidies. AT&T comes out and says, well, if you finished your contract, we're going to give you a credit and we're going to lower your bill each month. So they're still keeping contracts, but they're saying once your contract is over, if you don't get a new phone, your bill is $15 less a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sprint hasn't done anything with that either because they're still not reducing after the end of your contract. But I tend to take it more personally with Verizon because Sprint, you know, has other considerations.
They do?
Well, for one, Sprint has remained committed to keeping unlimited data.
Yay!
Verizon got rid of that. Well, they may change their mind on that someday, but so far they've said they won't. On the other hand, T-Mobile, once you reach your soft data cap, they don't shut you down or charge you overages. They slow you down.
And that's...
So that's still technically unlimited data. They're just saying, I could at least understand that. Here's your allotment. After you're done with your allotment, we're not going to start hitting you with thousands of dollars of overage. We're just going to say you don't get fast data anymore. Your thing will still work. You just have to deal with it.
It's perfectly fine. I mean, I'm not a fan of the cap in general, but at least they don't break anything and they don't overcharge you.
Well, if not for the fact that T-Mobile has issues in certain places I go, I would be tempted because I like the model that they're trying to go to.
Sure.
I also like the Ting model. The Ting model is the only model that I could have a cell phone, give them like $6 a month, and not feel bad about it, because their base price is $6. I really should get a Ting affiliate, because every time I talk about them, we could make some money.
Ooh.
Ooh, what? Podcasts don't go on for free. Yeah, you know, you pay the bills. But I'd figured it out that if I keep the Ting account indefinitely, it would cost me about $6 a month, which is their device charge. If I left it to do nothing, and let's say I took it out and made a couple phone calls, that's $3. Took it out and used 100 megabytes of data, another $3. That's $12 a month. Seems like a good emergency device. And it will allow me to tether, unlike Verizon. Then again, I pay by the megabyte, so works out somewhere. So let's see what else happened. Cyanogen Mod reached 10 million devices. That's good for them.
Impressive.
And Unlock with Wi-Fi is now SkipLock.
What is that?
Skip lock or unlock with Wi-Fi?
Both.
Well, I don't use the, that particular app. I do use an app that does that. Basically, the idea is that when you're connected to a specific Wi-Fi network, your phone will not lock. So I know you don't like locking. You don't like locking your phone, and I don't like unlocking my phone. So my idea is that if I'm in a place where I feel comfortable, the phone should automatically unlock itself. Otherwise,
sure, I'll buy that. That's nice. That's an excellent idea. A good compromise.
Well, the Moto X, which a lot of people like the customizations that Motorola did to it, one of the things they have is trusted Bluetooth. So the idea is if your Bluetooth device is connected, that the phone will unlock itself. So let's say somebody grabs your phone and runs off. They'll go out of range of your Bluetooth device, and thus the phone will lock itself.
And how does your phone connect to your Pebble? Is it via Bluetooth?
It is.
See, and yes, that would be nice. That could be useful for you, right?
Well, I haven't actually done that only because I did a little test, and I'm not quite sure of the range. I haven't seen exactly how far I can go. But I work in an office, not all the time. Sometimes I work at home. And I left my phone charging on my desk, had the Pebble on my arm, and I went to see how far I could walk. So I could walk to the other side of the office and still be connected.
Mm-hmm.
So that would keep the phone unlocked when I was not physically near it.
I like it. I think it's impressive.
Yeah, so Unlock with Wi-Fi, now Skip Lock, actually does have that feature. But I prefer a slightly less expensive program. It's a little simpler, but it tends to work. It's Bluetooth and Wi-Fi Unlocker F2. So I actually...
F2, you say?
Well, I paid for F1 as well. So technically, I've paid twice. It's like a dollar app. The developer released a new version that supported 4.3 and above and released it as a new app and charged again, which is fine. As I said in a previous scenario, the only thing that annoyed me is that in the comments on the original app for months, when people were saying that it didn't support 4.3 and above, the developer was there saying that if you sent him an email that he would give you the test version for 4.3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting. I sent my email. And then it pops up as another paid app. I don't mind if people say, well, I will, you know, because my work is worth something, the new version is going to... you're going to have to pay for the upgrade, but the old version will still be available to you. That doesn't bother me, but I'd just like it if people tell me that up front. I like to know what model I'm buying into. So this app I liked. The price was fine. It was $1.08, I think, for the upgrade. So I upgraded, and now it supports all 4.3 devices. And when I get into my car, which has Bluetooth enabled, the phone unlocks. When I come into my house, which has Wi-Fi, it unlocks. And I have the Pebble. So if I trust that the pebble is going to always be with me, then I could use that as an unlocking parameter. It also it supports not just Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, but it also has time-based unlock. Not time as in time of day, but you could tell it for the next 10 minutes, don't lock my phone. So if you don't have, well, no, if you don't have any of the other parameters and you're saying, I'm going to be sitting here for 10 minutes, don't lock the phone. Admittedly, the icon is a bit ugly, but you can't have everything. So link will be in the show notes. Also, another thing that came out this week, AndroOffice, which is a port of Apache's OpenOffice for Android based on an older version, version 3.4. Have you had a look at this, Jerry?
I have not. I'm not a big productivity on my phone guy.
Well, I think this is more tablet. But yes, you could use it on a phone. There's nothing to stop you. But the thing is, they made it so it will rotate with the screen, but they didn't redesign the interface. Still, it still has like the file menu at the top. Can you imagine trying to hit that with your finger? So basically, if you're going to use one of these things, you might as well bring a keyboard. So it's probably fine if, let's say, you have a Transformer. I gave mine away for money, so I am not using the Transformer right now. But I do have a Bluetooth keyboard and an Nexus 7, so if I really wanted to type, I could. I don't think I need a full version of Office for that. The only thing I need is like a little like text-based program to type some notes. But it's interesting. Eventually, I'm sure they'll redesign the interface. And one more app, as I said, it's a slow week, a free OTP. Because I learned something this week, Jerry. Did you know that
passwords are good?
Did you know that Google closed the source for Google Authenticator?
I did not. Why did they do that? When did they do that?
Apparently, they did it very subtly, because when I saw the free OTP thing, and this came out earlier this month, the app, and it just happened to, I subscribe to various news feeds, and somebody happened to mention this, so I did a little research. There's very little talked about it, but apparently Google closed the source for Google Authenticator and put in Google-specific bits. And
put in what?
You know, essentially Google-specific bits, the same way that they closed the standard for Hangouts from XMPP to whatever they're using now. So Red Hat stepped up, and you know Red Hat.
Yes.
They're good people, at least in my opinion. I like
the They people. Do some sort of version of Linux, right? Something based off of CentOS or something like that?
Actually, it's the other way around. CentOS is based off of Red Hat Linux.
Sure. Tell the story any way you want.
I'm not telling the story that way. That is the way it is, Jerry.
Sure it is.
Yes, I agree with you. Sure it is. Definitely. Anyway.
I'm just playing.
So they decided they would take the last open source version of the app, as well as the standards that it was based on, which are the HOTP and the TOTP standards.
I don't know what those mean.
Those are the essentially the protocols.
Sure, but what is the H and what is the T? I get the OTP.
Well, let's look it up. I was always bad at remembering my acronyms. HOTP is an HMAC-based one-time password algorithm, the cornerstone of Initiative for Open Authentication, otherwise known as OAuth. It can use to authenticate a user in a system via an authentication server. Both hardware and software tokens are available.
And so, apparently TOTP is top of the pops.
So do you use two-factor authentication, Greg?
I do.
Okay.
Mostly in Bitcoin-related stuff.
By the way, you're looking at the wrong TOTP. It's time-based one-time password algorithm. It's an extension of the HOTP algorithm to support a time-based moving factor. The moving factor is a value that must be changed each time a password is generated in order to ensure a different password is always generated.
Which I think is the most common.
Yeah, so what I did was I downloaded free OTP, and I sent a message to a few Linux enthusiasts I know, and none of them had heard of it. So apparently I'm ahead of the ball on finding out that Google Authenticator is closed and that Red Hat has released an open source alternative. And then I went and moved I moved my Dropbox two-factor authentication over there just to see how it worked. So I'm now two-factor authenticating with Dropbox using free OTP.
And apparently it is the only app that Red Hat has put out.
What else would they? They're a Linux company, not an Android company. So the only Android apps that they would put out would be things that would interface with Linux servers. So the reason why they're putting out this app and supporting it, and remember, they're still an open source organization that depends on volunteers and contributors. They're sponsoring the app, namely they tend to pay a lot of people to work on open source projects because they also support the server on the back end that would actually use the app. So I believe that's, what is it, free? I always forget what the name of that. I'm trying to remember. It's free OTA or free something is the name of the app that I'm thinking of. This is going to bother me, Drew. I don't like being bothered. Oh, here we are. Free IPA. That was bothering me. So basically, Free IPA is an integrated security information management solution combining Linux, a 389 directory server, a Kerberos NTP, DNS dog tag, and consists of a web interface and command line administration tools. So it's an integrated identity and authentication solution for Linux and networked environments. A free IPA server provides centralized authentication, authorization, and account information by storing data. So it's apparently an open source solution to, let's say, Microsoft's directory server.
Okay.
Okay. So
can I offer up an app?
You should, because I always like it when you contribute to the show. That's why you're here. Otherwise, I'd just be talking to myself.
An app called, what's it called? Mighty Text.
Mighty Text? You said Mighty Text?
I did.
Okay, well, now that I have a computer better set up while I do the show, I can look up this app so I can see all about it. Mighty Text. Mighty Text, isn't that an SMS thing?
Yes.
Okay, SMS text messaging to PC texting from Mighty Text, which is apparently the name of the company.
Right, so basically it's an app on the phone that just kind of sits in the background.
Yeah.
And there's an extension that goes into Chrome that lets me, when a text comes into my phone, it pops up on my computer, and I can reply to it there. I love it. I think I'm going to have to uninstall it and try AirDroid, though, which is largely the same thing. But well, I like it. It works really well for me.
Glad it's working for you.
Yep. That's all.
Yes, and Mighty Text apparently also has a tablet app. So you could have your phone and your tablet work together.
Mm-hmm.
And AirDroid, AirDroid it says is a device manager.
Yep. So it will let you actually get into the file system and photos. Mighty Text says that it'll do photos as well, photos and videos, but it doesn't work too well for me.
I'll just stick to my free Google Voice account. I don't believe in sending text messages if I have to pay for them.
Oh, I unlimited text.
I could get that if I gave up unlimited data. Doesn't seem like a fair trade.
I do unlimited everything except for something.
Yeah, but as I said, I'm on a dated plan, so I might as well keep it until they force me off of it, which I'm sure they'll eventually do. So this concludes our last program, it looks like, of the 2013 season. We'll be back in 2014.
We will?
Well, are you planning on going somewhere, Jerry? Or should I expect you next week? That would be January 6, 2014. Are you busy?
Not so much. I'll probably be like, working or something, but I'll be free by 10.
Okay, well, hopefully there's a lot of news. And the Consumer Electronics Show is coming up. Maybe something will come out of that. You never know. Remember that our friends over at the Tech Podcast Network, of which we are a proud member, and there's some tech over there too, are going to be doing their live streaming again this year from CES. As will a bunch of other organizations who can afford to go to and spend a week at a Consumer Electronics Show. I can't, and I'm sure if I went, it would probably drive me crazy anyway. I hear there are a lot of iPhone cases. Because whenever I hear people talk about CES, all they say is like rows and rows of iPhone cases. How do you revolutionize a case? Not that cases aren't nice, I just don't know what the innovation is in that.
Well,
and last year with everybody in that
happy fork. I know my wife's case is, a case, you normally think of a case as like a box around your phone, right?
Yeah.
Well, my wife's case is not really like that. It's more like a wallet that has a spot for the phone. So it also has a place for the credit cards, ID, money, and right at the size of the phone. So it only adds a little bit of thickness to the phone. That's kind of innovative, I think.
I'm not disagreeing you that you can innovate in cases. It just seems like that's not what really people are doing.
No?
It just seems like everybody is getting in on that Me Too philosophy. Let's show down and, my iPhone case looks exactly like the iPhone case of the guy standing next to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to claim it's innovative. And last year, everybody was reporting on a happy fork.
I don't know what that is.
Apparently, it's apparently a connected fork that makes sure you eat your food at a certain pace. I don't get it, but apparently half of the tech community thought it was interesting enough, or maybe they were just bored, but we'll see what happens. But if you're interested, check out the coverage. Otherwise, let's see what else. If you'd like to send us a message, we haven't had a voicemail in ages. That's 2012-WENICA. If that doesn't work for you, of course, you can send us a link to a audio file of your own. Otherwise, you may send us a written message, like some of the many people who have sent us messages in recent weeks. Like that guy who sent us the message, Robert, and of course, Kevin McLaughlin sent a recent message. We also got some lovely comments on our site about, let's see, what do we have here? Oh, yes, on 11/22, we had somebody who said that they loved the show, and they listened to every one of ours, and that we shouldn't let the critics get us down. That was a nice comment. And we haven't had a testimonial other than the first initial three and a bunch of spam since we started the testimonial program. That's where you say something nice about us in a general sense to encourage other people to listen. But if you don't want to do it in a professional sense, you can do it in an amateur sense. Just tell your friends that we're here talking about Android and we're always happy to have an audience. If we didn't have an audience.
Say that, but are we really happy to have an audience?
Otherwise, it's just me and you talking.
Isn't that the way it is anyway?
Yeah, but it's nice to know people are listening.
It is.
Yes. So do you have any final thoughts for 2013,
Jerry? I have a question. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you've experienced this on your phone.
Okay.
So you've got an app, a shortcut to your app on your desktop, as it were, right?
Launcher.
Yeah. Launcher. And the app gets updated. The shortcut disappears.
Not often, but occasionally. It depends on the app. So some apps, yes.
Dogcatcher's been doing that to me the last few times.
I'm still wondering whatever happened to that beta feature he's had in there for a long time. The cloud sync one?
Mm-hmm. It's still invite only.
Well, I'm surprised. You think he'd get to that one?
It would be nice because the doctor, export and import thing.
Doesn't work very effectively.
That was really a pain in the butt, moving all my stuff over.
Well, I don't understand. If he doesn't want to use, one of the Google Sync APIs, what about Dropbox? Just have your files, the configuration files, sync up to Dropbox, which a lot of applications use Dropbox as their syncing tool, and then just work it that way. You don't have to sync the files, you just sync the configuration. And I have one final question for you, Jerry, since it's been a long-standing theme. 2014, is it the year we get an Amazon video app for Android?
Not likely.
I don't think so either, but I'll make you an offer. If we actually get an Amazon video app for Android devices in 2014, I'll do something. I'm trying to figure out what interesting thing can I do if it actually happens?
I don't know.
Maybe somebody can give me a suggestion. I'll think of something. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this year. Jerry, it has been a pleasure spending 2013 with you.
Woohoo! And with you. Yep, yep.
And hopefully we will have new and exciting things to talk about in the first week of 2014. And I hope that you stay warm, because it's probably warmer there than it is here.
We're currently sitting at about 60 degrees.
We were 40 this morning at current temperature at LaGuardia Airport, which is where my weather forecast comes from on my desktop, 24.8 degrees Fahrenheit, going down to a low of 19.9 tomorrow, and on Friday, a low of 9.3 degrees.
That's just not right.
No, not right is that it's saying on Saturday it's negative 13.7. It must be factoring in the wind chill.
That would also be not right.
But we're supposed to get a snowstorm over the weekend.
See, yeah, no, that's just wrong.
I'm also wondering what, I updated this computer to the latest version of Fedora, also Red Hat sponsored, and I installed this little weather app in the corner, because all it does is, until I click on it, all it does is just tell me the current temperature outside. But when I click on it, it says, weather data from the Norwegian Meteorological Institute. So I just want to know, what does the Norwegian Meteorological Institute know about weather in New York? Shouldn't I be getting it from the National Weather Service? But that's probably my final thought for the year.
Why it has been a nice year,
though. It has. Many nice things have happened this year. And here's to nice things happening next year.
Because they will.
I hope so.
So, good night.
You're not going to say Happy New Year?
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Belated. Happy New Year.
What's the word you put before Kwanzaa?
Happy.
Is it Happy Kwanzaa?
Merry Kwanzaa.
No, I've said before that I've never met anybody who's told me that they celebrate Kwanzaa, which is not a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's never come up. So let's see here. Observance, popularity. Doesn't say what the official Kwanzaa greeting is. So if you happen to celebrate Kwanzaa, please send us a note telling us what the proper Kwanzaa season's greetings are, and we will express them to you. Also, I'm interested because, as I said, I've never met anybody who's told me they celebrate Kwanzaa. It would be an interesting conversation. And that brings us to the end of our show. And remember, all those social networks that you can find us on, Google+, Twitter, Facebook, IRC. You know, we don't boost the IRC channel, which is available not only on the Android Buffet website, but on Freenode at @AndroidBuffet. And I lurk in there almost continuously. So you can find me there even when I'm not actually there. And because of the wonder of modern technology, if you send me a message in that chat, it will buzz my pebble. Yes.
That's how about crazy. That?
I'm not going to say vibrate anymore, so people won't make fun of me. It has a buzzer in it. It goes, no more vibration. So that brings us to the end of our show, finally, and good night.
Good night, folks.